the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Golf Podcast. This is episode number 249. Tonight, we got Chubb's favorite topic. We're going to talk about how it's all in the hips, right, dude?
All in the hips, baby. Yep, I love it.
Yeah, this one's going to be a fun one. We're going to talk about the ways you can use your hips to your advantage, move them through the ball, create a more powerful swing, but you can also create a more consistent swing. So we've got a lot to talk about there. Mike, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, after all, isn't it what we all want, a more consistent swing?
Always right? Chasing it.
Always chasing it, man. So let's do this one tonight.
Yeah, this can be fun. So before we do, what do you say we dive into a quick word from our sponsor?
Yeah, sure. So this episode is sponsored by ShotScope. Guys, listen, we're not playing much. We'll be honest. I mean, we're not. It's cold, right? Clubs are away for the season. So we're going to come back strong with the stats segment soon. But, you know, Frank, still tell everyone about the awesome deal going on with this thing.
Yeah. And you know what? It's been great seeing so many of you guys in the Facebook group.
Yes.
Who've been scoring this deal because now's the time to get it. We don't know how much longer it's going to last. It is still valid right now. You know, that holiday special they're doing. You can get the new ShotScope V2, for only $189. We've got the new Golficity leaderboards there. For anybody who's brand new to this and doesn't hear us talking about it, you know, week in and week out, what we love about the V2, it's a GPS watch, but it also tracks all of your statistics. Every shot is tracked automatically in the background. It's so easy to use. So I love seeing how many people have been jumping in at that deal, that 189. You know, it's really not going to last. So now's the time to do it. And everybody who's ordered it and been posting the pics in the Facebook group, that's awesome. I can't wait to see everybody on the leaderboards as soon as it warms up and we get back out there. So remember, that's GPS distances to greens and hazard, plus that automatic performance tracking everyone's after and all that for under $200. Just visit shotscope.com/golficity or use the coupon code golficity to make sure you guys score that deal. $189. It is an absolute steal for this device. You're not gonna regret it. Go check it out. Mike, we've got so many things going on. I mean, it's the off season, but I feel like the news is still coming at us rapid fire.
Right.
You know, we've got equipment news coming up. We saw the leaked pictures of the TaylorMade M5, M6. You know, that just hit like last week.
That was exciting.
That was pretty interesting. Caught a little bit of buzz. We're seeing some big announcements coming from people like Callaway and stuff like that. So everything's kind of lining up and it's going to be perfect timing. We're going to be down in Orlando in, what is it now? 4 weeks?
4 weeks, man. Wow.
4 weeks. It's coming up and we're going to be down there. We're going to be going booth to booth to check out some of the new equipment. We've always a couple surprises for us when we're down there. So make sure you guys are following us on the social channels, for sure, Instagram, Snapchat, because we'll do a lot of behind the scenes when we're down there. But we're gonna do some podcasts while we're down there. We're gonna try to get dive into as much different things that are going on and find out what's going on and bring that back to you guys here. But I'm excited about it. There's a lot of good stuff going on.
There's a lot going on, dude. I'm just going to be excited not to, you know, not warming up my car 30 minutes before getting in it when we're in Orlando. That's going to be fun, but it is cold here. So yeah, we've got a lot of other things and you did not mention this, but obviously you can imagine being down there. We're going to be playing a lot and we're going to be shooting a lot of course vlogs at some cool courses that we're lining up. So definitely stay tuned for that.
Right. So no waiting all the way to the spring to play again, like you're saying. We'll be playing again in a couple of weeks.
Can't wait, man.
So I'm excited for that. So let's talk about a couple of things. I want to get your opinion on these before we talk about the instruction topic. First of all, we heard this week some rumblings about the PGA Tour having the idea of possibly instituting a draft. Did you hear much about this?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting concept. So take me through it. So out of college, skipping Q school.
Yeah. So normally when we see, you know, drafts are great for different sports because it builds a lot of hype. We see it with the NFL, the NBA, sure, things like that. But the common thread there are that they're team sports, right? And then there you have teams who, you know, they're picking and drafting for their team. But whereas with golf, we've got an individual sport. So it's kind of becomes interesting, like who drafts who, like how does this work? And what they're looking to do is actually the PGA Tour, would have this option to basically, you know, and what they're looking for is getting that best homegrown talent that they're seeing in the collegiate ranks and getting them into the tour as quickly as possible. So the idea being the PGA Tour would have a couple slots, almost like exemptions, where they could just draft guys straight up from college and right into some PGA Tour events. And it's kind of a met with mixed reviews. And
sure.
Some people say, yeah, you know, that could be kind of good, but look at all the guys who came before that. I mean, it takes, as you guys know, a ton to get onto the PGA Tour. And you really have to make your way through Q school. And a lot of guys work themselves up their way through the smaller tours, the web.com tours and things like that. And then some of the guys, you know, some of the more veteran PGA Tour members and stuff had kind of spoke out on Twitter and said, you know, like, listen, we had to work our way through it. What's the idea with bringing them straight through? And the other side of that too is them saying, well, what's saying that these guys are going to be prepared? Because you're not the real thing. Not only do you prove yourself in the lower tours, it really kind of prepares you for what you need to do to be ready. So who knows? You know, I kind of have mixed feelings about it. Personally, I feel like if you're an outstanding collegiate player, the type of guy who is going to be raising enough eyebrows for this draft and just to be drafted right up, I feel like in that level, you're probably going to move through Q school pretty quick.
Right. That makes sense.
Look at like a guy like Ricky Fowler, right? He led all types of things. You know, even I think as a freshman, I forget what records he had set, but as a freshman at college, he was just already on everybody's radar, but he still had to go through some Q school. The thing is, he moved through it incredibly quickly because of that talent level. So I feel like these guys are going to still get there. If you're destined for the tour, I feel like you're still going to get there. But my other thinking is, I don't know if I necessarily buy this. You need that time to prepare, like whether it be maturity or whatever, because look at the other sports. You get somebody like in basketball, LeBron James, right? Comes straight out of high school into, you know, and everybody kind of worried about the same type of thing, like the maturity level. Is he going to be able to play at this level? And if anything, he's proven himself. So I feel like guys can do it. Yeah, exactly. He did all right. So I got mixed feelings. I don't know. What's your take?
No, I'm with you. Mixed feelings as well. I mean, sitting, you know, in Jordan Spieth's shoes or Ricky Fowler's shoes, seeing that, you know, it's discouraging. You know, we had to do it. We had to grind through it. But to your point, yeah, if you're that good, you're going to move through quick. So, I mean, I don't know. I personally feel like they should go through all the same motions that everyone else does. And like you said, if they're that good, they'll go through Q school quick. They'll get on the tour pretty quick. So exactly. It's an interesting thing though.
Yeah. Look at any of the big names who we would want to see in the past. If you had wanted to see them just jump right up to the tour so we could see them play more, I'd say it all kind of happened pretty quick. Look at Tiger, you know, coming out of Stanford and then boom, you know, he made his way onto the tour, one or two professional events, but he came out of the gate so hot in those events. I just feel like you're going to make your way there. But we put the poll out to Twitter, and we've got, you know, every once in a while when some of this stuff comes up, I like to throw a poll out there just to kind of see, and just whether it was a good or a bad idea. And just taking a look at this, 32% said they love it. It's a great idea to institute a draft, but 68% said it's a terrible idea. So I don't feel like it's won over the hearts really of the fans. It doesn't sound like it's won over the hearts of the players. So I feel like that one's going to be a little ways off.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
So that, but it's an interesting topic, and any of the stuff we discuss here, guys, make sure you let us know your take on it. You can always tweet us at Golficity or in the Facebook group. You know, post your messages there. But moving on, the other thing I want to talk to you about, it's starting to really come close because we're at the end of December here, 2019. All these new rule changes are going to take effect, and one of the big ones people are talking about, pin in versus pin out.
I can't wrap my head around this one, man.
I know. And I think it's because for so long, we've just been so used to
it. We're used to it.
We're just so used to it. So it really kind of got me thinking. And there was an article. Let me just pull it up here. They had an article on Golficity that just came out today that kind of really sparked my interest. And I posted something in the Facebook group because I'm like, I want to get everybody's take on this. So, and again, we put a poll out there and I said, you know, What's just generally speaking, what are you guys thinking? Pin in, pin out, or it just depends on the putt? And the Twitter poll came back, said 22% said pin in for every putt, 24% said pin out for every putt, and 54% said it depends on the putt. So keeping that in mind, one of our writers, Nick Hagan, had put this great article out where he was just kind of posing the question, like, what is this really going to look like in practice? Like when we get out there? And I got to asking the question, is it going to speed up or slow down play? And where I think that is, let's say you and I, we got a foursome going and we get out there. And my personal preference is that I want to use the pin and you don't, right? So now normally I say I want to use it for every putt, and you say, Frank, I'm not used to it. I don't want to use it for any putt, right?
Right.
Normally we would get up to the green. Once everybody's on the putting surface, we take the pin out and we toss it on the side of the green. Well, that kind of goes away if now I say, well, I want it. So what are we going to do? Keep picking it up, put it in, take it out as we move closer and closer to the hole of like who's away? I don't know. Or are you going to come to a general, a lot of people said, well, we'll come to a general consensus on the first tee, like with your foursome. But let's say you're paired up with a couple guys and then all of a sudden, like everyone's got to do the same thing just because somebody, the majority rules. I don't know.
Yeah, it's nuts, dude. I don't like this one at all because my simple answer is take the pin out, leave it out. That's how it's been. That's you're putting into the hole. I don't grasp the whole concept, the science behind it, things like that or anything like that. For me, I'm putting the ball in the hole, take the pin out.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. There's going to be a certain degree of it that is the custom and the culture. We're used to just walking up and taking it out. But then are we doing ourselves a disservice? If it is possible that it's going to help us, then maybe we should leave it in. And that's, I mean, we talk about the scientific part about it. Look at the tour's resident scientist, Bryson DeChambeau, already said he's going to leave it in for all putts except for at the U.S. Open, because he says the flag stick is a little bit thicker in the U.S. Open. And he starts talking about the coefficient of whatever it is, According to him, he's saying it's going to be. So that makes me also wonder, like, what's it going to look like on tour? But there, it's not for pace of play, I'm not as concerned because you've got the caddies always have the flag in their hand. They can put it in and put it out based on if the player wants to use it. But then even some other interesting questions were raised in the Facebook group saying, well, are individual tournaments going to allow it? Like the Masters, because then that changes things. But it's a USGA, it's a rule now. So I don't know. It's going to be very interesting this season to see what happens.
Yeah, interesting is a good word for it.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling, though. And it just is. Sorry.
And then some other guys were saying, like, it's going to be that stigma attached to it. Like, all of a sudden, like, you play with your same buddies for years and years, and now they're like, one guy's like, oh, I want the pin in. You're like, oh, come on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But come then, on, and really? Then, yeah. Right. But and then I had asked around some other people, and they had said they thought that I was speaking to this one guy, and he said, I think the pin's always going to be in because I think people are going to be too lazy to take it out. Right. You might get that. Some people enforce them, be like, just leave it. We can use it. Just leave it in. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Personally, I think my take, like you said, I think I will probably take it out because I'm so used to it. And I think there's going to be a confidence level there where I'm going to say it might be a little bit of a different look and feel for me to have it in. But on the same token, I kind of like having this option in my back pocket. If I'm faced with like a slippery 5-foot downhill putt, maybe I want to put it in, as a little backstop.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
And think about it. When we warm up on the practice green, we're kind of used to it. Even though they're thinner, you always have those little pins in there. So you they're kind of in the hole already. So you can pop everything, the ball back out.
That's right.
So I don't know, but I think it's going to make the conversation interesting. I think it's already making the conversation interesting where we hear what DeChambeau's saying with where he's going to be using it. We posted the question in the Facebook group and I saw a lot of interesting debate come up. Let me just see. I want to make sure I've got this right. What Bryson said, let's see his reasoning, because this is kind of funny. But he thinks through things. He said, it depends on the COR, the coefficient of restitution of the flag stick. He said, in U.S. Opens, I'll take it out. Every other tour event, when it's fiberglass, I'll leave it in and bounce that ball against the flag stick if I need to.
Well, I mean, you bring COR into it.
That changes everything, right?
it's incredible. But, I'm curious to see how it plays out. And I'm curious to see who does it other than him. That's another –
Right.
And I know nobody in my group, sir, are going to do it. So
it seems like it's divided right down the line. When you read some of the comments in the Facebook group, as far as different people thinking it'll help the pace of play versus hurt it, and whether they're used to it or not used to it. And like I said, look, the decision was pretty split. in that Twitter poll. But I also think what's going to happen too is, like anything, it takes some adjusting and some getting used to. I think the first season might be weird, but after it sinks in for a while and people find the best way to use it, maybe practice with it a little bit. A lot of people had mentioned in the Facebook group, they were practicing with it in, a couple rounds just to see how it goes and see what they want to do in 2019. Who knows? And I think you'll get all types of coaches with different takes on it, whether it's good or bad or indifferent, but we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I want to get Sprecher's take on that next time we're with him.
We should. He's like our resident scientist, you know?
Exactly.
All right. So last thing I wanted to talk about too, because this was a funny story. Actually sounds like a nightmare at first, but did you hear this story, just came out last weekend? Cody Blick. Did you hear about this with on the, you know, Q School working his way into the web.com tour and he had his
clubs are stolen?
Yeah. This poor guy. So, he was, I think, three shots off of where he needed to be. I think you had to be in the top 20 or so to make it onto the web.com tour. And he's in the tournament. He's playing well. He's about three shots off. He wakes up Sunday to get out there and start warming up and practicing before the final round. And he discovers his clubs are stolen. And, you know, you feel for it because these guys playing on these much lower tours, they're not making a lot of money out there. They're grinding, you know, it's probably costing them more than they're making to be out there, but they're trying to punch their ticket to the bigger tours.
Sure.
So as a last minute scramble, he posts on Instagram, $5,000 cash. He says, no questions asked to whoever has or has seen his golf clubs. Cause this guy's got to play, you know?
Right.
So it just sounds like a nightmare. He ends up piecing together this set. He's got the superintendent's driver with him. He's got the pro shop's wedges, some random irons, and a heavier than usual putter. And you think about that, between that and just the mental aspect, right, of where if it were me, I'd be like reeling out there just with this idea that someone like stole my clubs. You know, I'd be upset. But he somehow overcomes all this, shoots a 63 on the final day with that mixed up mismatched set, and he gets his spot on the web.com tour. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
That's so a great story. I mean, I hope now he makes it all the way.
Yeah.
Because that was so cool to see. And I tell you what, it just shows like what a little bit of willpower will do. And we, you know, we talk all the time about the importance of having the right clubs and fitted clubs. I 100% believe that, but I still think that, you know, when you have a certain skill set, some of these guys are so good, they can hit almost anything and make it work. And that's where, you know, to me, it kind of dispels that rumor. Like we've talked about before, like do club fittings, are they worth it for like amateurs and higher handicappers? And the same thing that we've constantly heard from anybody we've worked with on a fitting is that yes, it actually is a more dramatic effect on people who are higher handicaps because they're able to fit the clubs and basically fit it to someone's swing. Whereas a really great golfer can basically adjust their swing to make themselves hit anything well. Now, right. Sure, they still fine tune those clubs in, but I just found that to be all around interesting idea.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. The fact that he can go out and do that and overcome that. And like you said, the mental aspect. These guys are like, they're so tuned into their equipment and their fit.
Right.
It's crazy. Standing over something you know is not made for you, for those guys.
Right.
To shoot a 63, good for him.
It's amazing. And I think out of all that, my biggest takeaway, because for me, I think what would throw me off the most would be not having my putter.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I think that's where like the biggest level of feel comes in. I think if I had to go out there and play with a set of rented clubs, I'd feel fine. Like I could get through it with most clubs, but the putter, I think, was what would throw me off. And that's where, you know, this real score comes in. So hats off to Cody Blick, because that was something to hear.
That's cool.
All right. So, fun stuff to talk about, but I want to get into today's, you know, instruction topic too, because, this is something that you and I have both been working on, you know, clearing the hips or however you want to explain it. Some people talk about clearing, moving the hips, just, you know, whatever it may be. We've got a couple tips that I think can really help people kind of visualize what needs to be done here. But Mike, what do you say we do a quick word from our sponsor first?
Yeah, sure. So this episode is sponsored by Titleist. Frank, 2018, I had a blast this year. I really, really did. I mean, I think the one of the things that stood out the most with all of our experiences that we've had was the switch to the Titleist clubs. I mean, the AP3s, the Vokies, the TS, the ultimate lineup, in my opinion, you know, after playing, you know, a handful of rounds with it now and a ton of range sessions and practice sessions, dude, I can't wait for 2019 with this lineup.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And just like you, this was my first, what I feel like my real first honed in set. I had been playing with some mix and match stuff before that. And like we said a minute ago, you could get through it, you know, but there's nothing that really instills that confidence like having a great set of clubs that just fits you really well. And I think the epitome of that for me in this set was the TS driver. Once we got out there, we went through the fitting and then it was just amazing the difference we saw just getting out there and hitting it, not only from distance, but also that forgiveness. So guys, do yourself a favor, give yourself that gift of forgiveness and distance this holiday season. You owe it to yourself to check out the new TS drivers and fairway woods. So visit Titleist.com to learn more about the TS line, and you can schedule your fitting for any of their Titleist Thursdays. They're free. It is the best way to get your hands on these clubs. Trust me about that. Check them out. You're not going to regret it. All right, guys. WizardPins.com I want to talk about real quick. They're the easiest way to create custom pins for your logo or design. And WizardPins can create pins of any size and shape for any occasion. And here's the thing. You don't have to be like perfect with your design. You don't have to like worry too much about that because their customer service team is excellent. They can help you select the style that's best for you. You don't have to be a designer, right, Mike?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, who doesn't love a good pin? I mean, you know, they're great gifts. They're great tokens, momentum, you know, anything you're doing something special, you give a pin. But dude, guess what? Not just pins. This is what I love about it. I was actually all over their website because I needed some gifts for people, coming up. I'm running out of ideas and I have like this secret Santa and I got this $50 limit and I have someone who wears cufflinks. I'm like, perfect, dude. I'm going to do custom cufflinks. I mean, how perfect is that? So, you know, there's no hassle. There's no hidden fees, which I loved about it. The prices for everyone are right there on the site. You don't have to wait for someone to kind of send you, you know, this is what it's going to cost. This is how long it's going to take. It's boom, boom, boom. There's free shipping. Fastest turnaround in the industry. Some items can be made as little as 2 days. So check out wizardpins.com, enter code GOLF, and you'll get 20% off your first order. That's GOLF for 20% off your first order at wizardpins.com.
Love that Secret Santa, man.
Right?
You're gonna kill it this year with that.
I think I am.
You're going to kill it. All right. So let's talk about this idea of some people say clearing your hips. And I like that terminology. Sometimes it's just a matter of just switching up your terminology, because it gives like the mind a better visualization to work with. I like using the word clearing personally because I feel like if I can get those hips moved and through the ball, it gives my arms room to swing through. So I use that word clearing, but you know, however you want to talk about it, you talk about your turn, you talk about your rotation. It really comes down to, it's one of those really solid fundamentals that we always say, go back to your fundamentals. When you guys have the fundamentals down, everything else kind of comes together with it. And this is something you and I just really kind of dialed into a little bit when we did our most recent swing lesson with Kevin Sprecher, because when we were strapped into that K-vest, if you remember, one of the motion sensors went on our, you know, on your belt for your hips, and they're just kind of looking at that timing and the distance of travel as your hips move through the ball. So there's a couple things that we all look for. We want that consistency. We want to hit the ball further. And a lot of that comes down to just generating more speed through proper use of your hips. It's like that analogy you hear me talking about from time to time with baseball. For anyone who's played baseball as a pit, you know, when you're a pitcher, it really, the power is not generated in your arm. You know, we always say the guy's got a great arm, but the reality is where the real power is generated is in that push off and the hip turn. And if you you ever see how much their hips turn during, you know, that pitching motion, you kind of see and you get an idea of how that works. So it's something that is very important. And there's different things that you guys can implement that'll help you maximize your hip turn. And the first part of that is really kind of setting the stage. We talk about in the past a lot of times about the idea of your setup is what really sets the foundation for a good swing. A good, you know, great setup, you know, can translate into a great swing. A poor setup becomes very hard to make a good swing. And that's where we rely on things like timing and all that other stuff. So what you really need to do, and if there's one thing you want everybody to think of, is just staying down in your posture, maintaining that knee flex all the way to the top of the swing. And a lot of golfers, you see this, you know, who are learning the game and new to the game, they tend to stand up out of their posture as they go through their backswing. And that can be a real mistake, and it can really hurt your ability to turn. We hear, like, when we work with Kevin, you heard him saying, you know, you're not going to be able to rotate as well from there. You know, whatever it may be, he's always focused on what's going to be able to rotate. So if you can keep those knees flexed and that lower body engaged, you're going to be able to make a much more aggressive downswing. It's like a lot of other sports. Any type of thing where you need to make an athletic move, you're going to have a little bit of that knee bend and that flexibility and that engagement in the lower body. I don't care what it is. It could be, again, baseball, if you're setting up to make a play on a ball, whatever it may be, or basketball, whatever, you're going to have that. So same thing with golf. It's going to be very difficult for you to make a proper turn of your hips if you start standing up straight. And this got me kind of thinking and looking into it a little bit more. And I watched some of the videos, especially the video analysis people do on YouTube of the PGA Tour pros swings. And one thing you kind of always see them do is they draw that line right across the top of their head, right before the swing. And if you notice the PGA Tour pro, they never come up at all. They're always moving down, and they're moving down and towards that ball. So you'll see they can draw a line right at that starting point, and then that head never comes up above that line. It always goes down from there because they maintain that really athletic squat so that they're able to turn. And whereas you see with a lot of amateurs, as they do the backswing, they start to come up and their head comes above that starting line. So it's something that you can do your own visualization. You can videotape yourself. There's so many apps out there now where you can draw the line in yourself or whatever it may be. But if you just kind of focus on staying in that athletic position, staying down to the ball, you're going to find that it becomes much easier to make that rotational turn. So
no, that makes sense. I mean, I kind of do this in front of a full length mirror, believe it or not, because I'm trying to, I mean, you know, Kevin was all over me about my rotation and the way I was bringing the club back and my inability to rotate the right way. He said it a bunch of times. He said, you know, you're getting back to the ball sometimes in the right spot, but you can't rely on that every time. You can't rely on timing. And we keep coming back to that because you can't. And I love this because, dude, legs, I'm all about legs, lower body strength. We talk about it all the time. But yeah, I like the mirror drill. I like it for that. And I love that what you were just talking about with the line on the head when they do that. Because it's so true how those guys stay that low and they just drive into the ball. You know, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, it is. And that visualization really does help. So you can do it for yourself and whatever it may be. The other thing is working on letting your hips lead the way. And this is another thing that came back down to that K-vest. Mm-hmm. We worked on sequencing. And we saw that, you know, you wanted to make sure, you know, you start with the hips and then you kind of like as you move through the upper body. And for me, if anybody who goes back and looks at that video, you'll see that my sequencing was out of order and I was like starting a little bit too much with the hands. And sometimes it's not super obvious, especially for someone like myself who I've been playing the game for a long time. I understand the sequence of how it should work. Sometimes it takes something like a K-vest or something like that that's like hyper accurate to realize because it could be just a difference of milliseconds. We're not talking about very long periods. So a couple of milliseconds, and that's all it can take to make the timing off. So you want to make sure that you can lead the way with that hips. And a good way to do that is working on that upper and lower body separation. If you remember way back in the beginning of this year, actually might have been the end of last year. All I remember was that it was cold. But we worked with Ben Scheer, who is like the guru of golf fitness. And one of the things he was working on with us was the upper and lower body separation.
Right.
So that can be something that you can really work on, but the idea being working on making sure that you're able to get those hips turning while the upper body kind of hangs back a little bit, create that upper body and lower body separation. The difference being when you see somebody who's like maybe new to the game and just learning to swing, you see them swing like everything rotates together, right? You see like the whole that move back and move through, right? And whatever. But here's where you want to have that separation, like the hips move and then the upper body moves. So by just focusing on a little bit of that separation, it's going to help. So you want to allow those hips to lead the way in the downswing. They need to be the first thing to go when the backswing is finished. And as that club just starts to arrive at the top, that's when you start that process of turning your hips towards the target. I talked about this in a previous episode. Same thing with like throwing a ball, throwing a football. Your hips start moving towards the target before that ball starts moving there. That's that upper and lower body separation. So as long as you can get that, the hips out front, your upper body and the club, since they're up, you know, the club's attached to your upper body, they're going to have no choice but to turn down and towards that target at some point. And that momentum that your lower body is creating is where the power comes from.
Right.
So working on that, and there's even little things. You don't need any sophisticated equipment. You can just kind of work on just upper and lower body separation, just standing in front of a mirror, like you said, arms across your chest, and then just work on just moving your upper body without moving your lower body, and then work on a couple of reps of just moving your lower body without moving your upper body, and just get those muscles used to working separately. And then after that, it just becomes a thing of timing. Move those hips first. And one thing I've been focusing on, and that my big swing change, is getting my weight to start shifting forward and towards the ball before, you know, before I even finish my backswing. And that's one thing I'm working on to create even more separation. So
right.
Once you get there, you're going to find that generates a lot more power. So again, that gets to this point where it's like, okay, that makes a lot of sense, you know, in when we think about it and as far as just like conceptualizing it, it makes sense. But then there's a matter of getting out there and doing it. And I think one big thing that holds us back, and I think this holds us back in lots of areas of the game, not just this specific area, but it's that confidence that you hear us talking about. So you have to have the confidence to trust yourself. And I think a lot of that confidence comes from practice and repetition and getting the feel for it. But confidence is actually a real big point of emphasis when it comes to moving your hips through the ball. Because at the top of the swing, you're going to have to either make a choice. You're either going to have to fire those hips aggressively, and in doing so, allowing the upper body to just follow through and just make contact the ball. Or, you know, you can make like kind of like meekly work your way through it and just kind of flop the hands down towards the ball. In other words, if you kind of doubt yourself and a lot of us do this, we put the brakes on, the subconscious brakes, and we kind of slow things down. And then what happens is sequencing really gets out of order, and it becomes like this tumbling cards, you know, this chain reaction that kind of everything kind of goes bad. It's like when you see a train stop too short and all the cars start piling up. You know what I mean? The train cars start hitting and piling up. It's the same type of thing. You know, once you make that commitment to fire those hips through, let them go, man. You know, let them fire and let the rest of the body just kind of come up down through it. And that really comes down to having confidence in that hip turn. You know, don't be afraid to just go out there. Once you've practiced that technique, and like you said, a mirror is a perfect situation, practicing the turn, practicing the rotation, there becomes a point where you have to just trust it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't trust it, it's going to just snowball effect, just go all wrong.
Well, that's one of the things I've worked on a lot this year. I've struggled with the slice. I've determined, or I've been told by a lot of people, that, you know, I wasn't rotating and also wasn't firing the hips through. I had lazy hips. I was relying on the hands. And when you rely on the hands, you could push the ball and you're going to create that spin and slice it. So when I was getting up there and lining up my shot, I would always just automatically line up to play that fade. And then when I would, in my backswing, like you said, you have to make the choice. Anytime I made the choice to clear and fire those hips through, I would hit the ball dead straight, much further, but way left. So I think, like, I just got to focus on doing it over and over again, being comfortable with it, and then lining up to hit the ball straight now and not relying on the fade, and work on firing the hips. Because I could start playing draws maybe, even if the ball's straight, but I think I can get a lot more yardage and a lot more consistency. And I just got to trust it.
Look, and it, like we said, we're talking milliseconds. It doesn't take a lot for it to be off. And it only takes that little thought in your head for a second, that little hesitation to throw that timing off. And especially with driver, that club face does not need to be off more than a couple degrees to make a dramatic effect, you know, yardage wise dispersion left or right. So here it's getting used to it, because there's timing that comes into it too. So as you become, you know, just start practicing this and you're new to it, you got to hang with it. Don't give up on it because it's going to take time. The body needs to readjust to new motions. I am still working daily on this new motion that I'm working on and just trying to become second nature by constantly doing it. So don't just think that one session out there and it's going to be fine. It's going to take some time. But as you do, you will see that benefit of it by being able to move through it, through the ball. But hesitation is your enemy. It's no different than when we talk about club deceleration. It's the same type of thing. I mean, here we're talking about effectively what we're talking about is hip deceleration. Mm-hmm. So if you hesitate, you decelerate and things go poorly pretty quick. So that's an important one. The last point I want to make too was the idea that yes, we want to commit to that turn. And yes, we want that to be an aggressive turn towards the ball, a committed aggressive turn. But don't get this confused. It doesn't need to be rushed. Even though the entire golf swing happens fairly quickly, there's a lot of components that are going on. There's a lot of things that are happening. So you want to make sure that you allow everything, even though the amount of time is short, still allow everything the proper time to develop. And here's where we see sometimes and we experience, because like I said, everything that we talk about here is something that's happened to us that we've worked our way through too, or are still working our way through. But sometimes we get so focused on trying to clear the hips or move the hips aggressively through that we sometimes start it too soon. And we don't allow the rest of the swing to kind of fall into place the way it needs to. You really need to find that. And this is what we talk about, tempo. When you have that everything, even though it happens quickly, like I said, a golf swing takes like a second, but it feels slower when it's less rushed, when it feels like it's on a better tempo.
Right.
I feel like when it feels fast is when it's like herky jerky and things are just kind of like whipping and happening quickly. So you got to have that comfortable pace and tempo, something you're comfortable with. And this is something that can be very personal. Different people can have different tempos, but you got to make sure you have enough time in your swing to finish all your moves. If you rush it, it's going to be hard to deliver that club head to the ball the way you want it to. So make sure you do that. Make sure, even though you're making that aggressive turn, you're doing all those things, you're still allowing yourself to get through that swing properly and you're not abbreviating it too quickly so that it becomes, you know, the hips get going. Again, it's a sequencing thing. The hits get going too fast in that point and nothing else can catch up with it. So just keep doing it over and over. Work on your timing. Work on your sequencing and the timing will kind of follow.
Right.
I think that's the key takeaway, if anything.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And if you could do this, remember, it's going to generate more speed. More speed means more distance, something we're all chasing. But also, like we learned in our recent lesson, when you have those fundamentals and the turn down and it happens the correct way, you rely a lot less on your hands making up for, you know, the timing that needs to happen to deliver that ball. You want those hands to do nothing really, but other than to hold that club and then just let the turn just push it through the ball. And when you see it done well, like on the PGA Tour, you see something that looks effortless. And it looks effortless because it's not rushed. Mm-hmm. So, but the fact is it is aggressive by definition because those guys are swinging fast. You know, the swing speeds they're generating and the amount of hip turn that they do is unprecedented. But it never looks rushed. It looks very smooth because the fact that they're letting that swing happen and develop and everything's happening in its proper order and time.
So. Yeah. You know, today I watched the senior tour. I mean, there really wasn't anything on.
Right.
And, you know, I love watching these guys play, you know, for that reason, because, you know, their swing speeds are more on the same speed as ours. And, you know, I like watching those guys play. I like Vijay, you know, he won, I guess, recently. So they were replaying it, but, the effortless swings by these guys and still so good at that age, you know, it's crazy.
And every time I watch that, it's encouraging to me because I realize that I don't feel like this is a race against the clock. You know, I feel like even though, you know, we're way past, you know, where we would be able to play on the pro tour or something like that. You know, we're way too old for that at this point, but I can say, like, look, my game still has time to develop. I can play this game for another 40 years, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great part of this game. And the proof of it is these guys who are, you know, they're 60, you know, 65 years old and they're still generating more power than we are in our swing. And right. that just shows you that it can still be done. You know, there's still time and you can get into this game pretty much any time later in life and still make it happen and still play at a highly competitive level.
Competitive. For sure. So absolutely.
So, all right. So good stuff. If you guys out there, as always, I always end every show by saying this because I love also learning from, you know, you guys out there, the listeners. If you have any topics, any tips that go along these lines, something that's worked for you, maybe you, had a different drill that you use or you worked with a coach and they had some sort of takeaway that really helped you. Let us know about it. Post it in the Facebook group. If you're not already in our Facebook group, it is a terrific community. It's 100% free. It's great to get in. I spend a lot of my week in there just between episodes, just kind of chatting and decompressing previous episodes and getting you guys, ideas on upcoming stuff. We chatted a lot today about this pin in versus pin out. But it's completely free to be a part of. Just go on Facebook, just search the Golf Podcast or Golficity. You'll find it. It's easy to join up because it's a terrific community. But if you guys do have your own, things that have worked for you, post it. I'd love to see it. I'd love to, get an idea of what's worked for some other people. And we could always circle back around to that on a future episode. If we think it's something that a lot of people can benefit from. So all good stuff. Great talking with everybody as always. And we will be back next week for the big guy. Episode 250. We're going to do a little something special for everybody. So stay tuned for that. And we'll see you next week.